I don't ever share it in my fan mail. We're hoping people are fans of Jesus, right? But this is one I really want to share with you, at least part of it. It's kind of interesting. This guy named Chuck sent an email to me through Robin. He said, "Dear Robin," I'm going to read part of it. The rest of it wasn't nice enough to read. I'm not going to read it on air. "Dear Robin, please pass along this message to Mr. Eels, who is a very outstanding person in the field of false prophets." I've never read a more perfect example of what Christ warned us about during the Sermon on the Mount. Well, Matthew 24:4-5 says, "And Jesus answered and said, 'Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many.'" How come Charles Swindoll never talks about meeting God? Why did Billy Graham never get a visitor at 2 a.m. in the morning? He's talking about, probably reading on our site, the visions of me meeting the Lord. You know, there's at least two of them on there about me meeting the Lord. And the 2 a.m. in the morning thing was when I was going on a tour and I was just totally burned out. And I was complaining to the Lord. I says, "Lord, you want me to do this conference thing, and I'm working 16 hours a day now, and I'm tired, and my mind's tired, and my body's tired. I says, if you want me to go on this thing, you'll have to help me. You'll have to get strength in my body." Well, the Lord, 2 o'clock in the morning, I just woke wide awake, you know, just like that. And I knew that somebody was in the room with me. And I didn't move. It was dark, pitch dark, and I was laying on the bed. And I could, you know, you can feel the floor moving. I felt someone walked across the room and sat down on the bed right next to me. And before I could even open my mouth, there was like waves of just God's power washing over me from head to foot, head to foot, head to foot. And, I mean, it was just very exuberating. I said, "Lord, what is this?" And suddenly came to my mind, you know, what I'd prayed when I went to bed. And actually, I saw in my mind's eye, I saw a vision. I saw my body being strengthened and my limbs being strengthened, you know. And, you know, after this angel or the Lord, I don't know who it was, an angel or the Lord, one, after they left, I didn't sleep the rest of the night, but I was strong in the morning. I mean, I just felt really, you know, blessed. I needed that strength from God, and He gave it to me, you know. And so He's criticizing me here probably because He doesn't believe in these kind of things. You know, He don't believe in the supernatural works of God today, you know. How come Charles Swindoll never talks about meeting God? And why didn't Billy Graham ever get a visitor at 2 a.m. in the morning? And why wasn't his body beefed up? And why, Mr. Eels, have you not told your followers how to make a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross? Well, you know, what can I say? He didn't read much of the site, did he? You, my friend, are a coward who is using God's word to push this his own selfish agenda on the unsuspecting souls that are searching for the truth. You can hide behind the internet and your continuously being updated e-books all you want, but I certainly would not want to stand next to you on the day that Christ opens the Lamb's Book of Judgment. Thank you for your time. Chuck. And then he gives me a P.S. here. He says, "Why aren't you affiliated with any church? And where did you get your advanced training?" I said, "Well, advanced training, he thinks I got some somewhere, didn't he?" I gave him an answer. Here's my answer. I said, "Thanks, Chuck. You are very understanding, and you're very kind. And I do preach about a relationship with Jesus, Chuck. This Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who does strengthen the weak and heals the sick and casts out demons and delivers from sin and its curse. You must not have read much of our site, brother. Read the testimonies section and see that people are receiving these things in this ministry. I haven't really had any ambition to walk in the steps of Billy Graham or Chuck Swindoll, but Jesus Christ and his disciples. The funny thing about religious people is they think that the height of Christianity has got to be their heroes in the faith that are alive today. But you know what, folks? We're not out to walk in the steps of any of these people, especially those that don't walk in the power of God. We're out to walk in the steps of his disciples, 1 John 2 and 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. I said, Chuck, many people these days don't have supernatural experiences with God, but the brethren in the Bible did, and some today are finding out what it is to believe as the Scripture hath said. John 14 and 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That identifies a believer, doesn't it? A believer is just like a believer was in his day. He hadn't changed. If anybody's moved, it's us, right? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I said, remember, Chuck, that the religious people who attacked Jesus and his disciples did not believe in a supernatural relationship to God either. Our affiliation is with that original church and those who walk in their steps. Yeah, we're not looking for affiliation with any of the religions, folks. All of the religions are the ones that crucified Jesus. The religions in his day were the ones that the disciples had to come out of in order to follow Jesus. No, we're not looking for any religion. That's man's work. Affiliation? Our affiliation is with their only one true church, which is what? Ecclesia, the called out ones. Now, if we're called out of their midst, we're not affiliated with any of man's religions. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zelotes, they had their denominations too. And all the disciples had to come out from among them in order to follow Jesus. It's the same today, folks. These people are not promoting Jesus. They're promoting their own heroes of the faith. And most of them, you'll notice, don't believe in a supernatural God nor the works of a supernatural God. And I went on to tell him, I said, Jesus said, whatsoever you have done to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. I said, God bless you to know this Jesus, Chuck, and be kind to all who love him. Love from your servant in Christ, David. Well, you know, folks, you want to know where the persecution is going to come from? It's going to come from some very religious-spirited people that, just like those Pharisees and Sadducees, they don't believe in the full gospel. Do you know that all of the disciples of Jesus believed in the full gospel? They believed in the power of God. They came out from among a people who had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. I want to tell you that the end time saints of God, they're all going to be full gospel people. They're going to be coming out of these dead denominations that don't believe in the power of God. Their heroes don't have supernatural experiences with God, don't believe in them. And they make their heroes their idols rather than Jesus Christ. They make their heroes their idols. Are we supposed to be affiliated with any church? I guess because he read my site, he didn't see any tag on there, no name on there. Does that mean we're not affiliated with the church? Obviously not. You don't need a steeple to be affiliated with the church. You just need to be born again and walking as a disciple of Christ and coming out from among them. You see, they claim to be the church. But if you're not coming out from among them, which is what the word means, then you're not the church. The church were those disciples who came out from among apostate Judaism. And the church today are those who come out from among apostate Christianity. The same thing, the same way. Christianity is not walking in the steps of Jesus. They've got their own agenda, their own idol, their own false Jesus. that approves of their ear-tickling doctrines. So we have to repent. And there are multitudes like Chuck out there, folks, that are just waiting for this anti-Christian spirit to wash over the world. You know, it's like the anti-Semitic spirit. It's the same thing. You know, I watched something that was amazing to me. Maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. I lose track of time. But these Jews were on national television telling what happened to them during the Nazi regime and how they were all so suddenly shocked that neighbors that they'd gotten along with for so long, had no problems with, were friends with, did things with, ate with, so on and so. Suddenly, these people couldn't stand them. And they just couldn't believe it. How could this happen? What is going on? It was very confusing. An anti-Semitic spirit had come over these people, and they were now willing to kill them. Well, folks, in Jesus' day, there was an anti-Christian spirit that swept over Judaism. They persecuted the saints. They were God's people. They persecuted the saints. Some of these same people that we get these nasty letters from, they're part of that. They have a form of godliness, and they think that anybody that walks in the steps of Jesus or the disciples who believes in the power of God, that these people are the false prophets. That's what they thought about Jesus and his disciples. They were the false prophets. So they thought they would do God a favor, as Jesus said, and they took them away. Well, an anti-Christian spirit is about to sweep this world. You know it's going to take not only the beast, it's going to take the harlot. The harlot's going to be willing to crucify their own brethren, proving that they do not belong among the elect. History just continues to repeat. There's a great falling away coming, like the Bible says. Multitudes of what are called Christians, because they really don't know the signs of the end times, are going to take the mark of the beast, and they're not even going to think it's the mark of the beast. Because they've already taken the spiritual mark of the beast. They walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. The forehead and the hand. The mark of the beast and the forehead and the hand. They're identified as those who walk in the flesh who must die, Romans 8 says. And they're going to make war on the saints. They're going to agree. They're going to bow down to the beast and they're going to agree for the sake of not losing their stinking life to persecute the saints. Well, we can pray for them. You know, I pray for Chuck, because some of these people will be delivered. Others will be just like this and become more and more reprobate as time goes by. More and more reprobate. The whole world, you understand, is going to be turned over to a reprobate mind. The whole world. Only the people who are abiding in Christ are not susceptible to this spirit that's coming over the world. I should say a corporate body of spirits that's coming over the world. Out of the pit. They're going to be... And it's going to be like it was with those Jews. You know, this is not natural. This is just, it's kind of crazy, you know, to see somebody in that state when there's no rational reason for this to happen. Well, it's not rational, folks. It's a spiritual thing that's going on here. It's a spiritual warfare, you know. Those that are from beneath will fight with those who are from above. And this anti-Christian spirit is going to sweep over these people. They will hate you for the Lord's name's sake. That is so that the Lord's name would be manifested in you, right? That's the whole point. God's got a wonderful plan. It's going to work. They're going to hate us. And they're going to falsely accuse us as false prophets. And all because they don't know our Father. You know, they persecuted Jesus, he said, because they didn't know his Father. And they don't know our Father. And they don't know the Lord Jesus. And they don't know the gospel. They only picked out a few pieces that let them build their idolatrous religion. Their dead religion that has a form of godliness and denies the power. They picked out, you know, a few things that make them feel justified. We do this, we believe this, so on and so forth. And anybody outside of their little mold is in trouble. And guess what? They're in the majority. Of the people that are called Christians, they're in the majority. So you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to stay in touch with the Lord, abide in Him, not bow down to the beast of our own flesh, because if we do, we will take the mark too. Abide in Him and stay in touch with Him through prayer and listen for His voice, because He's going to guide us around a lot of the pitfalls. He's going to deliver us if we won't let into our mind the natural fear that comes over the world and over the apostate Christians. If we don't let these things into our mind, but instead we stay full of the Word of God, full of faith in Him, holding fast to His promises, the Lord is going to see us through this thing. And He created this anyway for our perfection. He created it to, like we were saying earlier, burn up the bonds that keep us in bondage, you know. Praise be to God. He's got a good plan. It'll work. Hey, Corey, you got anything on there?
Mm-hmm. This was a vision that Sherry Watson had this morning during her praise worship. She said she was groaning in pain and had realized that she was in a squatting position and was pregnant, and she was about to deliver the baby's head. The head was right there. She said that she wanted to push the head out. It is so close, but the Lord told her not yet.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, there can be a couple of interpretations to that. Number one, the one that comes to me first, is not necessarily the answer. There may be two answers here. One thing is that Sherry is a disciple of Jesus, and she is called to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. And the seed of the Word has been sown in us, folks. And we're coming to the time when the fruit's about to be born and seen by the world. You understand? You know, as it's growing inside you, Jesus said, He that doeth the will of my Father is my mother. Because we're bringing forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. Individually, man and woman, we're all pregnant with Jesus Christ. Soon that fruit will be seen to the world around us. It is now to some extent. The baby's being born. I think that could be a promise to Sherry of the manifestation of Christ in her. You know, and also, we know that we're at the time when the man-child is going to be born. And we're talking again, now we're talking on a corporate level and not on an individual level. The man-child is going to be born from the woman. The man-child being the first fruits, like Jesus was the first fruits in His day. That man-child is about to be born, and things are going to change, folks. You're talking about a lot of the Pharisees rising up and being angry and coming against the work of God. Well, the closer we get to manifesting Jesus, the more that's going to happen. And the man-child is about to come forth, start the ministry that Jesus had, the same ministry, because history just repeats. And it's going to be an exciting time, very exciting time. So this could be a twofold revelation here, you know, of individual bringing forth the manifestation of Christ. The manifestation, you see, why do we call it the manifestation of Christ? Because we were crucified with Christ. Christ lives in us. Those are words of faith. We all confess the words of faith, but there's a difference between the faith and the manifestation. You hold fast to the faith till you see the manifestation. Then you don't need the faith anymore. We're holding fast to the fact that Christ lives in us and we don't live anymore. We died. We were crucified with Christ. He said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. So we hold fast to the faith until the manifestation comes, which is it's like praying for a healing and enduring in faith till you see the healing. Then you don't need the faith anymore because you've got it. It's seen by everybody. The world sees it, you see. But while you're walking around claiming by His stripes you were healed, they don't see it because there's no manifestation. But you see, what we're coming to is going to be very quickly manifest Christ in His people. The circumstances, the atmosphere that God's about to raise up is going to very quickly manifest Christ in His people. Number one, the man-child ministry is going to restore the truth, the unleavened bread, like Jesus did when He came. And number two, The man-child ministry is going to have the latter rain like Jesus had the former rain. And number three, God's going to shake the world. All these work together to cause God's people to repent, to be motivated, to be empowered, and to very quickly manifest Jesus Christ. So we're coming to a unique time in history. There are more Christians alive today than there has been Christians throughout history. Do you understand that? That's awesome. Think about that. So this is the most important time in history. And the time when we're coming to the last 7 days in which God is going to manifest himself and his people. And the first fruits of the corporate body of the church, the woman, in Revelation 12. The first fruits is going to be the man-child ministry. And it's just about to come forth. So these are exciting days.